So I'm Rudy Eigenman. I have actually an NSF project, but this is way larger than the NSF project. The NSF project is about creating synergy in the cyber infrastructure ecosystem. And the one thing when I created this slide, I did not plan to say, but it came to mind today, is that there's a lot of talk about there's this cyber ecosystem, right? Cyber infrastructure ecosystem. And we need to find ways to create synergy among the components of the cyber ecosystem. The ecosystem, NSF and many in the community have talked about it for quite a long time. It is absolutely real, and I think testimony to that is the 700 attendees of the first conference. That really tells me that there's a lot of interest and a lot of people contributing, working on part of that cyber infrastructure ecosystem. One of the big things that keeps me up at night is to think about how can we create some kind of synergy? Why do we need synergy and collaboration and ideas exchange? Well, I can think of at least two reasons, right? So, one, we need to make sure that the cyber ecosystem is somewhat coherent, right? If 700 people, and I'm sure we're just a small fraction of what's going on in the cyber ecosystem, if 700 people work individually, they may do a great thing, but if we don't collaborate in some way, the entire thing is not coherent. And so that's one good reason why we wanted to create some form of synergy, and the other is to learn from each other. And with these thoughts in mind, I actually had, when I proposed this project to NSF, I was thinking primarily of a project that I'd had the pleasure of working with for 4 years when I was at NSF myself, the XSEED project. And XSEED had this a group called ECSS, Extended Collaborative Support Service, and Bob Zinkovitz is co-leading that effort that is essentially an army of computational experts, or I call them computational experts, or short, just experts. Others call them research software engineer. We could argue, and at yesterday's panel, we argued, you know, what exactly is the definition of these terms. I'm not too keen in nailing it down exactly what we call it: experts, research software engineers, ECSSers, research facilitators. I've heard many different terms. So those that I have in mind, those who help the domain sciences in developing, improving, and running computational applications so that the domain scientists can focus on the domain science and somebody helps them with the tasks of developing, improving, running computational applications. These are the people I have in mind. ECSS has some 30 FTEs roughly that help the user community in the country do that. And when I was at NSF, I got to know other projects like Cyverse, the Software Institutes, the CARC network, the Campus Champions. All these projects have similar groups with similar topics, similar tasks. And when I then asked them, you know, how much exchange is there between these projects, the answer I got was not very much. And that brought up the idea that, well, let's ask NSF for a little bit of money so that these groups can exchange ideas. That's the simple idea behind the expert network, and that's what this Bob wants to present. Create synergy, that's what I just said. There's these many expert groups, and we want to exchange best practices, other ideas. I myself, I'm a tool designer, and I design compilers, and I've often asked, also again, these expert groups, do you use tools? You know, tools are very important for your work to be done efficiently and productively, to use tools. And unfortunately, I've often heard the terrible sentence that I heard 30 years ago for the first time: we use Sprint F.
And debugging.
So that motivated me to also, into this discussion, bring in some tool designers and lead to a conversation of those who, you know, develop computational applications, those who develop tools, and make sure that the tool developers have the right feedback from those who actually really need to use the tools, and the experts or research software engineers, they have the assistance of the tool developers to guide them in using the tools. So these are sort of two topics. And then I asked four panelists representing different tools, and I asked the panelists to introduce themselves. And at least I'll mention the names, but what projects they're working on. I asked them essentially to tell us, you know, in their project, what are they doing already to create synergy and maybe to make sure that they use the best possible tools. And if they're, and second question, is there potential that they see to do even better in the future, to create even more synergy? Is it even necessary, or maybe we don't need synergy, we can just work each of the projects individually. So is it necessary, what are we doing already, what could we do better in the future? So with this in mind, the four panelists, and you know, these spaces are much better than my pictures here, but the pictures are here anyway. Bob Sinkovitz, a co-leader of the ECSS project, and Ian Kosten, who I know as initiator and leader of a research software engineering group at Princeton. Henry Nieman at OU, he created many things. Among others, he is launching this virtual residency program, or maintaining that. And then Shelley Knuth at U Colorado, involved in the Exceed Campus Champions. So with this, let's go right away.
Okay.
Henry, do you want to start? And I left it up to them to use slides or not, and I think they opted to.
We're going to see if they're going to make me feel embarrassed for not having any, because I have no slides, because if I did, they would look exactly like the plug that I'm about to do, which is tomorrow at 1:30 in the Wrigley Room, come to my virtual residency talk. Now, how many of you are familiar already with the virtual residency? Okay, and how many of you have actually participated in the virtual residency? Okay, so a few. All right, so the virtual residency, which really should be credited to the Clemson-led ACI Ref project, which ended in the last year or so. The virtual residency, the idea was, let's teach people how to be research computing facilitators. There are more and more people being hired into these positions. And when I started doing that job way, way back in, let's call it 2000, there was really no specific expectation about what my productivity should be or how I should be improving researcher productivity. And those days are over. The luxury of time is what has evaporated. And so now when someone gets hired into a facilitator position, they need to be productive in the first 5 minutes. They need to be getting researchers able to do stuff, to use whatever the computing, the cyber infrastructure capabilities are right away. Particularly because in my experience, researchers, domain researchers, their tolerance for the time it takes to learn a new technology is 1 hour. And if you can't teach them in 1 hour, they're done and they walk away. Because they got to be productive, they don't have time to screw around. So I'm very sympathetic to this, but so we needed to figure out a way to teach people how to help users use cyber infrastructure. And the reason I ended up doing it was because nobody ever had been dumb enough to try before me. So I was the first person to be dumb enough to try and teach this, and it seems to have worked out pretty well. So I've got numbers in my talk, but I think it's now over 600 people from over 300 institutions who've participated in this. And all our goal is to teach people either to be a facilitator or to be a better facilitator. And I'll turn the program over to the guy with slides.
All right, if I could get the...
Please do.
While Bob's plugging in, what about the questions of, you know, exchange and
right.
creating
so
synergy with others?
Did you mention the workshop that you held last month?
No.
Okay, so yet. Rudy and Pranos led a workshop last month at ICS 2019 on exactly this idea of getting people from these different communities together to talk about this stuff, and it inspired me to realize that what we really need is for the tool developers to talk to the facilitators and teach the facilitators how to teach the users how to use those tools, but also how to identify which users, which researchers are good candidates for using those tools. So what the facilitators need are the moral equivalent of a teacher's guide. And so that's already a conversation we're having internally among our group. And in fact, I had a meeting about it with one of my colleagues just on Sunday afternoon. So we're already working on moving forward on that idea.
All right. Yeah, thanks, Henry.
I just have a few slides. I'm not going to read everything on here. We were probably PowerPointed to death. This is just so if you don't catch everything I say. So my name is Bob Sinkovitz. I'm at the San Diego Supercomputer Center. I co-lead the Extended Collaborative Support Services. If any of you remember, I think a lot of you remember Nancy Wilkins Deer. Think of me as the new Nancy since she retired. I know you have to use a lot of imagination there. But yeah, so I'm taking over Nancy's role. I think a lot of you are already familiar with XSEED. ECFS is a very big part of XSEED. I would say that we're about 40% of the total effort that goes into XSEED. I want to point out that we're an allocated service. In addition to allocating time on machines, XSEED also allocates the expertise. We're big. We have about 29 FTEs spread across anywhere from 70 to 80 individuals across 10 different sites. And I think it's that large pool that we draw on that's really, really essential, since we need to be ready to serve pretty much every field of science, research and technology. So we need that critical mass. The staff generally have advanced degrees in science, computing, and technology, and we work extensively throughout XSEED and everything from training to proposal review to working with external relations. We have five main areas within ECSS. Not going to read them all off, but they cover different areas. Some of them, like the first two, research teams and community codes, do more what I consider to be traditional support. And this is where kind of I got my feet wet with XSEED. And this is in the optimizing of codes, parallelizing of codes, essentially taking somebody's software, going in there, profiling it, figuring out how to make it run more efficiently or scale better. We also work closely with the science gateways. We have a group called NIP, Novel and Innovative Projects, that is, I think of it as the outreach arm of ECSS. There's still a common misconception among many users that ECSS is for certain domains, big users, physics and astrophysics and climate and weather and computational fluid dynamics. But if anything, the opposite is true. We try to put a lot of emphasis on the new users, folks from emerging domains. We take a very, very mature field like quantum chromodynamics. They don't need ECSS. They have teams of their own experts who have been developing these codes for decades. And we also have a training, education, and outreach component. Thinking about some of the challenges that we have, and this is where the tools come in, is ECSS is very labor intensive and difficult to scale. If we want to do twice as much ECSS, we really need twice as many people, because it's individuals who are working directly with researchers and their teams. And we want to improve the productivity of our staff. Yeah, I'm going to take issue with something that Rudy said earlier about printf. Printf is the best tool ever invented. I challenge anyone to come up with something better than printf. But even among ourselves, and I will say I'm guilty of this, I have got kind of a knack for diving into code, especially code that wasn't expertly written. Try to figure out how to do the tuning and optimization. Over the years, I've had a few cases where I got speedups of 100x to sometimes that 1000x, and I did that without tools. I did that with printf, not only printf, but also grep and sed and awk and emacs. But I'm thinking back though that with tools, with proper use of tools, I could have probably been much more efficient. I think a lot of our staff are more, our ECSS staff are more tool savvy than I was, but I don't think that all of us are. We also need to think more about not just the collaborations, but also the knowledge transfer. There's a misconception sometimes with ECSS that we're the people who work on your code, and when we're all done, we'll give it back to you. Here's my code, kind of like what we call throwing the code over the fence, let me know when you're done with it. That is not at all what we want to do. We want these to be true collaborations where we transfer the knowledge so that after we've done what we could do, that the PI and his or her team has knowledge that they can then run on their own. And we're really interested in keeping our skills up to date, learning, you know, especially learning about how to use new tools for profiling and tracing and performance optimization and so on. And we would also like to educate the users in the use of the tool. So, you know, we don't want them to be just for us. We want them to be more widely used. Again, going along with this idea of knowledge transfer. But here's where I think the real challenge comes in with the tool adoption. The reason everybody uses printf is because it's really, really easy to use. If you know how to program in C++ or any other language, if it doesn't have printf, it has some kind of equivalent. We all know how to use it. Some of the tools have really steep learning curves. There's a fantastic tool out there called Tau, but it is powerful, very, very powerful, but a rather steep learning curve, and it may not be the best tool for the end user. It feels to me more like a tool that's targeted at the at research computing professionals. And you know, so I think, you know, when it comes to the tools, you know, we need to become experts, but we also need tools that are usable and ideally on a number of levels so that our end users can get up and going quickly, but the power users can dive much deeper. And we're definitely looking for opportunities to collaborate, to work with other groups. We haven't done that as much as we could. The NSF, in fact, at one of the review panels, asked us to do that, or I should say that the reviewers did. We've started working a little bit more with CARC, but there's, I think, a lot more we could do. So I will hand things over to Ian.
Great, thanks, Bob.
And slides, sir.
No slides.
I'm gonna go.
Shelly, you can decide if you wanna. Really sorry.
Which side am I on?
So, hi everyone, my name's Ian Kosden. As Rudy said, I lead a team of research software engineers at Princeton. We're centrally housed within the research computing department. We're relatively new. We started in late 2016 with me, and now we're at seven research software engineers plus me. So we've done a pretty rapid expansion over the last couple years. So we as a group work together collaboratively, somewhat like ECSS, with researchers on campus from various different departments to help them create, you know, all that high quality code. So high quality means a lot of different things to different people, but it's scalable, sustainable, efficient, maintainable code. We are research software engineers. What I really think captures what we do is that we're software engineers who are developing research software. So that software that's being used to solve a research problem. I said each one works with a specific discipline. Most have a PhD in a related field. So that's statistics, machine learning, neuroscience, high energy physics, sociology and politics is a recent one, so we've gotten into the social sciences, molecular biology, and genomics. So we have a broad group. They each are embedded long term in these projects and departments. Each one has between one and three long running projects that they're involved in, and basically take ownership of the code and the development. In terms of connecting and community and involvement, one thing I want to say is that I've seen a real difference within the group as we've grown in terms of each RSE wanting to share and learn from the others. And as the group has grown, that's been enabled just by, you know, the ability to find someone else who's already solved that problem or has experience. So what our group meetings have evolved into recently is, so who's been able to debug C++ wrapped in R code? Because I just got something handed to me. It's a new project, and it's segfaulting out of the box, and I need to know what the right tool to debug it. And they're really looking for someone. There's so many things out there. There's so many technologies and tools and approaches that they're just looking for someone with some experience to steer them in the right direction. And they're okay. You know, they're not the researchers who are like, oh, I only got an hour. Like, I'll spend 3 days learning it. I just want to know I'm going in the right direction. So I want to learn from your experience and say, this is worth my time to go invest in this one because there's 50 of them out there and I have to pick one. So I see a lot of value in connecting people with an expertise that they can then go and poke and feel comfortable saying, here's my problem, what do you suggest? So I can go down that path. The other thing I feel I should mention here is that I'm also heavily involved in the USRSC organization. So that's a group that we're putting together of people in these kind of roles to build this community too. So, you know, I think it's worth mentioning that there's another community too out there that we're talking about these to try to solve the same thing of connecting people in these similar roles of supporting research software development on campus by actually doing the software
development. Hi, I'm Shelly Knuth. I am not related to Donald, before you ask. Everybody does. Although we are from the same part of the same state, so maybe we are, I don't know. But I'm here to talk about the Campus Champions Program. I am a newly minted member of the leadership team. Henry has been around with the Campus Champions Program for a while, but he can't be an expert in two things on the panel, so I have to be here.
And that wouldn't be realistic anyway.
In my day job, I lead the user support group at the University of Colorado in Boulder, and so we do a lot of user support and training. But in terms of the Campus Champion Program, you know, a lot of this, if you've gone to some of the talks here at the meeting, you've heard, but the Champions Program was founded in 2008 as part of the TerraGrid program, and then in 2011 it was incorporated into Exceed, which has maintained its funding up to date. And the mission of the program is, it's a mouthful, but it's really good, is to promote and facilitate the effective participation of a diverse national community of institutions in the application of advanced digital resources and services to accelerate scientific discovery and scholarly achievement. It is established by creating a program based around supporting a group of peer mentors and facilitators whose goal is to help researchers, educators, and scholars at their institutions make the most of their computing and data-intensive research. Right now, there's 623 campus champions around at over 304 academic and research institutions. And they're generally employees that have day jobs at an academic or non-academic institution. And they range from being anywhere from directors of research computing centers to sysadmins to user support specialists, anywhere across the board. One of the main goals of the Campus Champions is to raise awareness of resources and facilitate their access by helping campus entities identify what they would need for their research. And one of the main things is that the Campus Champions help researchers find and use the technologies that best fit their needs, no matter what scale that they're at. The Champions program also provides professional development and training that benefits not only the champions themselves, but also their stakeholders at institutions. And they've really worked hard to develop an efficient community of practice. Some of the options that are given to the champions as part of this workforce development is being able to be a part of ad hoc presentations by experts in the field. There's talks monthly that go through some of these presentations, and they can be really helpful. There's a mailing list that's available, and that's, you've probably heard about it already, but it's super helpful as somebody who's on that mailing list. If you're not at an institution where and this doesn't particularly apply to me because I'm at a larger institution, but if you're at an institution where you don't have any other experts there to help you solve some of these problems, that mailing list is your life raft. And one of the great things about that, and that goes along with the mailing list, is that the campus champions really peer mentor each other and share tools, best practices, and expertise. And for myself personally, I've been a champion since 2015. And it was I started in this field in 2014, and it was one of the ways that I felt welcomed into the community as a whole. And I really think the champions did a really good job at that. In the first decade of the Campus Champions, just wrapped up last year, and now the group is sort of looking to the future. So trying to figure out a good sustainability model, and looking at different funding options as well. Some other things that the Champions group is looking toward is looking at increasing small group engagement with the creation of some smaller interest groups and a best practice guide that addresses common issues. To answer some of the questions, I think one of the things that the Champions do really well at creating synergy with is just this collaboration amongst each other. It's practically impossible for, if you're a campus champion, to not engage with the other champions and then learn about what it is that they're doing at their respective institutions and in their respective jobs. And I've learned personally so much from that. And I do think that there's a lot of opportunity there as well to look into. There's a lot of close collaborations with some other groups out there that we've mentioned, but a lot of that with CARC, for example, or CASC, or maybe some of the other groups here, a lot of that's going on at the top level and not necessarily with the champions themselves, and that might be what's the most appropriate, but it could be, you know, a different way that we could look at in the future. And I do think, too, perhaps with some of the tools that have been mentioned, doing some onboarding for the champions if they're interested in using some of these tools with some sort of formalized, training or something like that could be of use.
Great. Now we're done. Want to open discussion to the audience. Does anybody have questions?